SEO podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing. My name is Chris Burris, owner of eWebStyle.
I am Charles Lewis, your internet marketing specialist.
How are you guys doing today? This is another fun-filled edition of the SEO podcast. This is actually podcast number 206. Our last podcast was 205. And our tip from last podcast is structure your site with both users and conversions in mind.
Yeah, you want to make sure that when you're building your site and you're working on your site structure and content structure and things of that nature, that you have users in mind, because those are the people who will be accessing your site. So you want to make sure that they can navigate through it, that they can find what they're looking for easily. And frankly, whatever you have to offer, you need to make sure that it's visible and prominent. And secondly, conversions. Not only can they find it, but that they actually take action, that they do subscribe to that newsletter or submit for a quote request or buy a product, whatever your action is, or whatever that desired conversion is. Make sure that you have both of those in mind when structuring your site.
Yeah, a good example, often it's a give and take, right, between an attractive website and a website that closes. I've got a client right now who's like, we've got a good website, we know that it's going to convert, and the client is like, well, I want it to look prettier. And first off, it's not an unattractive site to begin with. It's actually a very nice site. They just want more flash. They've seen some other websites, and by flash, I don't mean flash, Adobe Flash. I mean, you know, really what they want is a big slider. Yeah. But the big slider isn't appropriate in this particular business. The big slider would just cause people not to be able to find what they're looking for,
exactly.
Which also could be known as a conversion. So, really important when you're building your website.
Definitely.
Please remember, we are your friendly local neighborhood top position snatchers.
Yes.
Where our mantra is,
don't be a douche.
Don't be a douche.
Snap like the finger, the whole Dikembe Mutombo deal.
It is not a good look.
Don't be a douche.
If you can, tweet now.
Yeah, we'll tweet right now. I don't know if you can see that or not. Hashtag SEO podcast. This is number 206. Be sure to tag us in it at eWebStyle. That way we can link up, follow you back, and do all of our social stuff.
Hey, just so you know, we've actually been consistent almost on two podcasts in a row. Last time was about 12:30. We hadn't really identified the time. We are going to be broadcasting now consistently at noon Central Standard Time.
Yes.
On Friday morning. So add it to your schedule. Friday after, Friday mornings for the West Coast and Friday afternoons for the East Coast.
Yeah.
Right, like we're right in the middle.
Here.
Yeah, it's just noon.
We're central.
Yeah, that's why it's called Central Standard Time.
Yeah, 12 o'clock. We're kind of excited about that. We wanted to give you guys some consistency because I know a lot of people tend to watch live and a lot of people tend to listen later because they can't watch live. And part of that's our fault, right?
Yeah.
Not giving you a consistent time. And so noon. That's what it is.
And by part of that is our fault, what Charles really means is it's entirely our fault. If you guys don't know when to add us to your schedule, then we just won't get on your schedule.
Yeah.
So we will continue to tweet right before. We do tweet right before, so make sure you're following us.
Tweet while it's happening.
At eWebStyle. Tweet while it's happening. And what we'll probably get into is actually taking questions either through Twitter or if you're watching on Ustream, which, by the way, is the only way you can watch, usually there's a chat feature, and we're often chatting with some of our regulars. So you'll be able to post questions and make comments in that feature, and we're going to do a lot more live interaction. So if you're enjoying this podcast, if you're excited by the fact that we have a noon start time and that we're going to be sticking with it, then what you could do is you could write us a review. And there's three places to write us a review now. The first one has three steps. It is iTunes. You go onto iTunes, you make an account, you write a review. And if you choose to, you send us an email, podcast@e-webstyle.com. And we highly recommend that you send us an email if you're in another country, because I can't find it in iTunes if it's in another country. Anyway, we've explained that enough. The other place that you could write a review is on our G+ local page.
Yeah.
And the easiest, fastest, quickest, and non-invasive way to find it is to go to
e-webstyle.com/G+.
You could also try /Google+. All of those will get you to our G+ local page where you can write a review. By the way, I have two reviews from our G+ local page.
Now, why are you there? not only are we asking you to leave us a review, and it may sound like a lot, but it's really not. It's like two extra clicks, right? One of those clicks should be plus one us. Second click should be add us to your circle.
Yep.
And that way you can put us in, let's say, some internet marketing circle, or maybe a circle called Cool Guys, or,
yeah,
you know, something like that.
But, not douches.
Yeah, exactly. So put us in your circle and give us a plus one. So appreciate it.
The other place you can write us a review now is on our Facebook page. Mm. We have a reviews tab.
That's right.
We just added that. So the easiest way to find us there is facebook.com/ewhiffstyle. You can also find us twitter.com/ewhiffstyle. And you can watch videos, youtube.com/ewhiffstyle. And if you really want, well, that was good.
Yeah,
if you really drug that out, just enough. It wasn't annoying. Because I know annoying. And you can also send us an email, podcast@ewhiffstyle.com. Remember, today we have, and always we have, a referral program. If you send us an SEO client, you can continue to get paid for that SEO client as long as they're active. Thank you. And today we do have an algorithm cataclysm.
Yeah, so we actually have two of them, and one I'm bringing it to you because this finally been updated. So the first one, this one is actually unnamed, but this is something Chris and I noticed when looking for reviews, and I'm curious to know how many of you guys have actually noticed it as well. But if you're on Google and you're looking up some products or a site or whatnot, Google will give you a listing, right, of the reviews. Of course, the Google reviews will be more prominent, but then right below that, you'll see Yelp, or you'll see City Search, or maybe some other third party. But what's interesting is at first, when you clicked on the Google reviews, then it would take you to the Places page.
Google Place page,
and then you could see the reviews, you'd see the map, you'd see everything else that went with that company. But now they've changed it. When you click Google reviews, you get a pop-up.
We're going to call it Repop.
I like that one.
Repop.
You get a repop. Yeah, you get a repop that comes up, and it shows you the latest reviews with a link at the bottom that you can click for more information. And so I think that's pretty cool. They're kind of making it easier to absorb reviews faster. And of course, reviews are, you know, we'll get into some of that next week. But, you know, reviews influence over 60% of people's purchasing decisions.
Absolutely.
So reviews are that important. Second cataclysm.
I feel like we should do another one. Let's do it.
So remember when Google released Panda, and then they did a Panda update, and Matt Cutts put out a video saying that the update was gonna take 10 days for the update to finally go through, and then they would do it probably every month, and it would take 10 days to complete its rollout. So they're calling that process Phantom.
Phantom. Okay, yeah, the Phantom process.
The Phantom update.
Yeah, the Phantom.
So it's kind of tied into Panda a little bit because it's covering that whole rollout process. But I thought Phantom was a pretty cool name.
Yeah.
And so Google Phantom.
Star Wars-ish. Right?
Yeah, I can dig it. So that's what's up on our
algorithm. For
cataclysm.
Some, it is actually known as the Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
Because your ranking declines significantly after that if you're doing things the wrong way. And by the wrong way, all we mean is not having the Google
right
user... that, and not having the Google user in mind. If you're providing a good experience to the Google user, at the end of the day, Google is going to like what you're doing. So keep doing those things. Hey, we've got a little, we've got an email. This one came in. What's up, guys? Love listening to your podcast. My name is Corporal Luke Moore. He's in Connecticut, and he's in the process of starting a web development online marketing business, and he's investing time heavily on his learning his local SEO.
Oh, he got on us.
Yeah. He pulled up getlisted.org, and he found out, actually he goes through a couple sentences of inconsistencies in our own listings. I actually was fixing some of those this morning. He says, so thank you for letting us know where we have done it wrong. We actually do appreciate it. He says he's not trying to be a douche, just letting us know. And we really appreciate that.
I can dig that.
Punch in the face. He goes on to say he's working on his website. It's corporalonline.com. It's only 20% done. He's working on 100%, his normal J job. He loves to get home, jump on iTunes, and he's going to give us a 5-star rating. We'll be looking for that. On a side note, feel free to punch me in the face and kick me in the shins. I served as a U.S. Marine and also actively train Muay Thai. So I don't have any feelings in my shins. So this will be the first time I kick in the shins is a good thing, right?
Yeah. Just because you can't feel it.
Yeah. And then patoof in the face.
Because you can't feel it.
Yeah. All right. So so thank you very much, Corporal Luke Moore. Next.
Moore, that's what's up. Yeah. You know, first off, appreciate your comment, punch in the face for that. And appreciate you pointing out where we were inconsistent with our NAP stuff.
Yep.
And it kind of old saying, you know, barbers have bad haircuts.
Yeah.
Or mechanics, their cars don't always run right. But, you know.
The cobbler's children have no shoes.
Exactly.
Yep.
So, but
thank you.
Appreciate that. We're working on it.
Here we got from Paul B. This was one of our G Plus local reviews. This was last week. It says, great podcast, extremely helpful for anyone looking to get more info about SEO. No doubt the best SEO podcast out there. Thank you. As the owner of a startup company, these podcasts help me wrap my head around everything SEO. I appreciate what these guys do very much, and they will likely get business from me in the future. We are waiting for that.
Business. Appreciate it.
Paul B. Patuf.
Punch in the face.
Thank
did he mention
you.
His business name?
He did not mention his business name. It's so there's a symbol Deutsch. So the
hit
way you can
podcast at e-webstyle.com.
Hunt him down also by going onto our G Plus local page. We already covered how to get to that same page you write the reviews on, and look up Paul B. and say, hey, thanks for giving eWebstyle a review. Next is Brian Goodwin. A great podcast. The sound is getting better and better all the time. Learning a lot from these guys. Heck, they get you to want a punch in the face. That is how good they are.
Yeah.
You know what? We're going to give you exactly what you want. Brian Goodwin. Thank you. And all right, here we got two more. This is from Facebook. Edward Cole, I got a question for a podcast, unless you already covered it. If you have a site...
Okay, and probably.
If you have a site on a shared hosting account without paying extra for a dedicated IP address, will the other site's SEO practices hurt your SERP? Please direct me to the podcast number if you've already covered this. Thank you, guys. You guys are awesome. First, for a punch in the face for calling us awesome. We like that. And then...
yes, it can. You know, if you're on a shared hosting site and maybe there's some of those other sites who are kind of in your neighborhood, if you will, if you look at it like that, and they're doing bad things, like maybe you're on a shared server with a porn site and somebody else who's just tons of spammy guest blogs, and then another site that's full of affiliate links or something like that, and they're not really practicing proper SEO. Then yeah, you will be affected. It's kind of like a great house in a bad neighborhood. Nobody wants to live there.
Yeah.
And so even if the house is great, you know, the people around it aren't. And so I would definitely spend some time investing what other sites share similar IP addresses and or on the same server, and make sure that you're in a good neighborhood.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, then you might want to move.
And it's only, like Charles gave, it's only an extreme example.
Yeah.
And really, if like one... website is doing things wrong, that's probably not going to penalize. Google's aware that thousands of websites can be on one IP address, so that's not going to be a real issue. But if you are on a server with a whole bunch of other SEO spammers, then
or sites that have been blacklisted or things like that, or maybe a server that gets, you know, penalized frequently, you may want to consider relocating.
You could easily get rolled up into that grouping, and you certainly don't want that to happen. So I think the shortest answer is only yes, it can be a problem only if the sites around you are doing really bad things.
Yeah.
So it's probably not a problem, but you got to make sure.
I will say this: if budget permits and you have it, get your dedicated server. And just that way you won't have to deal with that.
Yep. All right, so punch in the face to Mr. Edwin Cole. All right, next is Mitch Moen. I wanted to drop you guys a line in regards to the August 30th podcast. The guy who wrote the review, that review clearly hasn't listened to the podcast. It's in my top weekly rotation for podcasts. What makes your podcast so palatable is that you guys have personality. It's like sitting around with friends and talking SEO. The fact that you guys do punches in the face is awesome. It's a marketing approach similar to the Quiss, to what Quiss did with Kenny Powers, K-W-I-S-S. The ads were risky, but they were awesome. Not something I want mentioned, but you, we're out there. Appreciate you. Da-da-da. The day you guys stop being Chris and Charles is the day I stop listening. Mitch, Man, that's
punch
awesome.
In the face to you. Really appreciate that because it seems heartfelt and actually very sincere.
Yeah.
So that's what's up.
Oh, I don't know if he didn't want us to mention anything on the podcast or not. Too late. Mitch, by the way, it was a really nice. We appreciate it. Yeah. So that's why we put it on air.
Well, keep listening because I don't know how to be anybody else but Charles.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not.
Well, there's that Chuck guy.
Well, Chuck.
And then the SEO rapper. You can.
He said Charles. All of those are Charles.
Oh, okay.
All of those are Charles. We'll talk about personas in a minute as well. But appreciate that, man. I really do.
And I'm just Chris. The white dude standing next to the SEO rapper.
Who also does improv. I mean, come on, man.
All right, so we got a little bit of news. It's not much. There's a what's called a locked USB device, and I hadn't really thought about this. Say you're somewhere, you got your phone, you're running low on battery, and you're on an airplane, and the guy next to you says, hey, just plug into my computer, get some charge. You're like, oh, okay, cool. So you get a little charge off his computer. And then you look over and you notice that all your contacts and everything's coming up on this computer. So there's a device that will give you the charge but prevent the data from getting transferred.
Okay.
So that's kind of a cool device, I thought.
I mean, so an adapter that you'd have to plug into first and then from that to his computer?
Yeah. It's a little USB male to female.
They need an app for that.
Yeah, they need some sort of app for that. Yeah, I would agree.
Extra devices.
Well, yeah, I mean, just I think you can even set your phone so that it's just charging or something. Anyway.
Yeah, turn it off and then plug
it in. Oh, there you go. Man, that's just brilliantly simple and brilliant at the same time. All right, the next one is, I think we mentioned this, finally, there's a lost Droid app. I read a little review, and I tried to install it on my phone this morning, actually, and I ran out of space, so I've got to clean up some space on my phone, and then I'll be adding it. It's pretty cool, though. It's all stealth, so nobody knows that you're monitoring it, and you can have it pop up a message, you know, like, hey, return this to.
Mm-hmm.
I read an article a while back. Some guy says he loses his stuff all the time, but he's put a sticker on the back of it, which says, do the right thing. And his phone number, and it's been incredibly effective for him.
That's what's up. I would like a Mr. T pop up. Yeah. Give my phone, fool. You know what
I pity the poor fool who stole my phone.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mr. T stolen phone app. Morning.
Next, you know the Galaxy smartwatch came out. Everybody's everybody's all thrilled about it or whatever. It only works with the Note 3. The new Note 3. I don't know if you know that. So you have to have the Note 3 phone in order for it to work. It only lasts a day. In fact, probably less than a day.
What do you mean it only works with?
Like, so there's there's a communication.
Yeah, so it needs another device to make it function.
It needs the actual phone.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, when I read it briefly and kind of looked at the images, I was under the assumption that it was going to operate on its own as a whole other Android device.
It is a whole other Android device, but it doesn't have phone. It doesn't have cellular. You know, so you've got to sync it with a Note 3.
Another device. We just talk about other devices. Boo.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then I saw this. This is just pretty cool. LG has a 77-inch curved OLED HD TV. It's actually a 4K TV. It says about, I think 4K is maybe two times more detailed than HD. All right, what are you going to do? Like, at some point, it's more than you can
It all going to look the same. Yeah, I don't have robot eyes.
Yeah, exactly. And if I did, I'd be like, do I really need to see the flower in the background well at any one point? All right, so that is the potatoes of our podcast. Time to get into the meat. Not our meat. That would be wrong.
Yeah, that would be all the way wrong. I was perusing Search Engine Watch again. I came across an article by Ms. Joffrey called Content Marketing Lessons from Tourism Australia. And it was pretty cool because I had actually saw some of this marketing things that she was referring to when Tourism Australia was doing it. Basically what they did was to try to increase tourism, get more visitors and people to visit Australia. They went through a whole content marketing strategy where they incorporated a lot of social, a lot of blogging, a lot of content, and it worked pretty well. And so she kind of lined out 9 different lessons you can pick from that. And so as I went through the article, the 9 lessons were cool, but I wanted to see if we can tie them into more than just tourism. Like, because most of our clients are small business users, electricians and plumbers, doctors, things like that. And so we wanted to see if I can help you guys with that. And so the first one she put was an in-house social team. Tourism Australia had an in-house social team. And so what I want to say is just make sure you have people dedicated to social. They don't necessarily have to be an in-house social team. It doesn't have to be somebody like us, an agency who you outsource to. But whatever you do, make sure you have some people who are dedicated to managing social media. Reason being is because social media is one of those things that can get kind of put on the back burner or put to the side. And if the person who's managing it isn't dedicated to just that, then it may not be as effective as it probably could be. You won't get the sort of results that you're looking for. So make sure you have some people dedicated to social. Number two, let your fans become the ambassadors. I thought this was key. And so, you know, but I want to change that to giving power to your fans and clients. What does that mean? That means if, let's say you do siding, right? We got a signed client. Let's say you do siding and you went and redone somebody's house. Instead of you taking all of the pictures, doing all of the promo, encourage that client to do so. Encourage them to share it and even give them some incentive for doing so. I mean, because what happens is now you have what's user-generated content, which we'll get to again in a second. But more importantly, you have direct access to their existing client base and to their network, to their friends, and they're sharing your work that you did for them. So give some power to your clients. Number three, engage in word of mouth marketing. This is still key. Word of mouth is still one of the most powerful forms of marketing. People accept what people say versus what they hear from somewhere else all the time.
That's why reviews are powerful.
Yeah, exactly.
That's word of mouth. Yeah.
Well, yeah, social is the new word of mouth, right? Yeah. And you have to be social. But more importantly, since it's word of mouth, be social from a personal standpoint. Like, don't always approach your clients or fans from your business page with all kind of business talk. It's okay to come at them as Charles Lewis and not necessarily E. Webb style.
Right.
It's okay to interact with Mark Zuckerberg and not necessarily Facebook. Right. Right. Google's does this great. Like, Matt Cutts puts out the videos. He may release them on a Google platform, but they're clearly his videos.
Right.
And so that works. And so that sort of word of mouth is engaging, and it encourages people to take a sort of action. And like you said, reviews are key. Reviews are like a new word of mouth. We said it earlier. Over 60% of purchasing decisions are made based on reviews. We were vacationing recently. My wife went through all of the reviews for the hotels, and that was a huge decision in our hotel selection process. So get reviews because they're important. So number four, the customer is the hero of the story. Encourage them to share the experience, right? If that customer had a great time, they came, you gave them great service. Let's say you're a restaurant. They enjoyed their meal. You gave them a free dessert because they was a birthday or whatnot. Encourage them to share that story. Encourage them to tell others how awesome their experience was. Give them some incentive for it, like, I don't know, maybe half off their next visit or something like that. And that will have way more power and influence than you doing it yourself, telling how awesome you are to your customers. Instead, let your customers say how awesome you are to them.
Yeah.
It works in reverse, but it has a huger impact in regards to getting referrals and getting repeat business and things like that. Yeah, so let them be the hero. Fans of their own content is number five. What I would say here is make their content visible, right? For example, if I'm shooting pictures or I'm vacationing, and I'm posting pictures about what I've eaten at a certain restaurant or whatever rides I rode at Six Flags or whatever it is, it would be monumental to that company, that restaurant, for me to post my own pictures.
Yeah.
About what I ate. Yeah, a picture of a chicken fried steak, blah, 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 that I ate at such and such, right? And then I share that. And then what they should do as a company is take my post and repurpose it, put it on their blog, put it on their Facebook, tweet it, and engage with me. Because now I'm going to retweet that. I'm going to feel really special that they took the time to do it, and I'm going to share it.
Yep.
And so definitely let fans and clients create their own content. Again, in our citing issue, what if that same – you know, user not only took those images and put them on Facebook, but they began sharing them, or they began emailing them to other people, or better yet, even found people who have houses like theirs who could use the siding and sent it to them directly. Look what this company did for me. Yep. Clients will do that, especially if you give them the incentive to. So let them be a fan of their own content. Number six, newsjack when possible, right? I've been calling it sitejacking. But the key here, because it's always possible to newsjack, right? There's always some new news that you can come and repurpose. Don't do that unless you can add something interesting to it, right? There's no need in taking the latest story and then rehashing it, because we've heard it 1,000 times. But if you're going to take the latest story and rehash it with some of your own input, or maybe some influence that hasn't been covered by other people, or a totally different perspective about that story, or maybe it's the devil's advocate, maybe you're of the exact opposite belief or whatever that story is, that's okay. But that way your content is valuable now. It's different from what's been published before, and it actually gives some people some merit to reading it. So if you're going to newsjack, make sure that you're adding something to it, that you're improving that content and not just repurposing what somebody's already done, because there's no value in that. Number seven, let a story develop its own legs. I like this one. I called it don't force it, let it come naturally. Right. Don't. If you have a cool topic you want to write about, start writing about that topic. But don't go crazy writing, trying to force it, coming up with all of these superficial tweets and suspect Facebook posts and things like that about a post you wrote, because you're forcing it and it looks forced. It's not natural. And you're spinning your wheels. It's not going to work.
Right.
If you write a post and it doesn't seem to gather the traction you want, that's OK. Keep writing. Right. But make sure you do some of the other things that are not in here. I'll say this real quick. Since we're talking content, make sure you have everything a great piece of content needs.
Yeah.
Right. Great title. Great verbiage. Right. It reads well. Supporting rich media like images and video, links out to other sources, things like that. That's what makes content viral. That's what makes a great piece of content. That's what Google feels makes this content worth ranking higher,
right?
Because you have all of these things. And if you do that, then it probably will develop some legs and grow on its own. You know, if you're missing all of those attributes, then your content is just, you know, another HTML page on your website somewhere. So don't do that. Number eight, every social platform has its own rules. I totally agree. We're talking content marketing. So after you've written this blog post and you have your title, you have your verbiage, you have your images, you have your videos, you have your links to maybe an Amazon site where they can buy this product, or you have a links to some place where they can see reviews at. Now that you have that, now it's time to promote it, and you're going to promote it socially. But use each social network the right way. For example, don't have 4 or 5 consecutive Twitter posts because you ran out of words. No, that means you're using Twitter the wrong way.
Yeah.
It's limited to 140 characters. So come up with some concise, specific line with a link right to that. Or maybe even the title of your article or something like that, and link over to it. That's what Twitter's good for. It's easy to retweet. And I'm going to say this, leave some space so if people retweet, they can also comment.
Yeah.
One of the things that stops me from retweeting is because I want to add something to it, but you've used all 140 characters, and so if I retweet it, I can't add my
anything.
2 cents.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. If you're on Facebook, this is the place where you want to summarize. You don't want to put a duplicate copy of your story there, right? Facebook will allow you to do so, but it's not really effective. How many people actually opened up a huge Facebook post, read the lines, and then just stop reading?
I may click through a link, but I'm not, reading.
You're not finna read all that. Instead,
you can't format it, right? You can't have images, no.
Exactly. So, don't do that. Instead, summarize it. If you write a long, good blog post that has your images and everything else we talked about, why don't you summarize that in maybe 3 or 4 sentences, put that on Facebook, and then link to it. That's more effective.
Yeah.
And then in G+, which isn't widely adopted yet by the average user, it's still kind of loaded with techies. And so that's a good place to maybe list the research you used or where you gathered your data from to create that specific article. Put that there. with, of course, a link to the post. And while we're on G+, make sure you got your authorship and everything set up. And then you'll be good to go. And at the end of the day, you just want to make sure you're using social best practices. And the last one, some of the content marketing keys to success. Move away from one-way broadcast type. Yeah, it's no more as it just pushing information out. Yeah. Oh, we're this, oh, we're that, oh, we're this, oh, we're that, oh, try this or try that. No, social has to be more engaging. Content has to be more conversationalized, if that's a word. You want to make sure that, people reading it or feel engaged to leave a comment, or right. They feel like they're having a conversation, like there's almost a dialect going on between the two. That's what makes your content share worthy. That's what makes it plus one worthy. That's what makes it like worthy. If you're just talking at people, then you probably won't get the kind of results you want.
Yep.
And lastly, in regards to the content marketing keys, rely on they put citizens and past visitors. Remember, they're talking about tourism in Australia. I'll say rely on referrals and past clients, people who've used service before, people who've bought your product before, people you already have an existing relationship with, will likely be more encouraged to share your information and promote you more because they've already had a good experience. And I think it's okay to rely on them, especially if you give them an incentive. Hey, we serviced you 3 months ago. We noticed it's about time for whatever you bought to be renewed. Here's a discount for a new one. If you like us on Facebook and tell everybody how awesome we are, right? And that's something you put in an email that you send to them. You don't ask them that on Facebook.
Right.
You email that to them and then let them do what they have to do.
Yep.
And so take advantage of previous clients, especially if they're in a good place and they're happy, because they'll likely do what you need them to do. So that was it. Content marketing lessons from tourism. Punch in the face to Miss Joffrey. Kudos. I'll post this on Facebook.
Cool. Hey, we've got a question. This is, what is the difference between having SEO for your main site and having SEO done to a landing page that redirects to your website? And this is Smith and McClellan.
Yeah, so two types of SEO pages, one on your main site and one for a landing page.
Landing page is harder, first off, right? Because you don't have the supporting link structure typically to a landing page.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one challenge. It depends on what you're trying to accomplish on that page.
What's the purpose of the landing page
is
for?
So what is the difference? The difference is the purpose and the fact that it is, in fact, harder for a landing page, because when you're on your website, remember, all of your other pages, for instance, your homepage, which is typically the most powerful from an SEO perspective, you've got all the other pages of your website linking back to it. Hopefully some of those links are with proper anchor text, not all of them, because mm-hmm. that would be kind of considered spammy. And so inherent on a website page is the fact that you can have a lot of links. That goes away as soon as you have a landing page. And I'm assuming it's a landing page that's on another domain, not inside that. We design every page to be a landing page, not just the home page, not just the PPC page, not just every page has CTAs, USPs, so calls to action, unique selling propositions. We have a goal on each page.
I want this page to convert.
Yeah.
I don't care, you know, how you got to the page. If it was from a Facebook paid ad or even a Google paid ad,
right.
Which is my gut tells me that's your landing page, is probably for a paid ad. Or if this page ranked naturally, or if you came to this site from a business card or some print media somewhere. I don't care how you got to the site or what page you landed on. But my concern is when you get there, we want you to convert.
Right.
And so, yeah, we do design each page with conversions in mind.
Right.
And so in regards to that, I think the keys to remember is how you're using that page. If it's for a paid ad, let's say through Google, then you want to optimize that page as much as you can.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to say as
you
much
may,
as you,
you
can.
May not even want any other links.
Exactly.
Like, you may not want it to link to your homepage because your goal is to get a newsletter subscription mm-hmm. or a product purchase or an inquiry form filled out.
Now, I will say I think there's value in having landing pages on the same domain name. We tend to keep that in mind when designing sites, that these certain set of pages will be landing pages for paid ads, and they work on that same domain name. It just really helps with like quality score and things like that.
We've actually had pages designed specifically for closing as PPC landing pages actually start to rank well in SEO.
Yeah.
Now those are on the same domain. They don't have the same link structure. They actually have outbound linking, but no internal linking because in this example is an air conditioner. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for air conditioner repair, you know, you put on your unique selling proposition, you put on your CTA, call or fill out the form, and you don't really want to give them options to do other things.
Yeah, I don't want you to go looking for AC maintenance or appliance repair or walk-in cooler repair or anything like that. I need you to stay focused on AC repair because that's what you search for.
Call us, send in the form. So that page typically doesn't get incorporated into the site structure. And yet it still ranks well because the SEO on that page was well.
Yeah, so indirectly, maybe after the conversion on a thank you page, you know, now you've got the lead. Now you can offer them all sorts of stuff. Hey, thank you. We'll be contacting you shortly. By the way, like us on Facebook. Or, hey, look at this page about AC repairs.
Right.
Some more information or whatever. But keep your landing page optimized and focused on that conversion.
Cool.
Hopefully that helps.
All right. Do we have any blank stare?
I got blank stare.
All right. Here we go. What? I think I got the right tone. That was a good tone.
Yeah.
Nice and smooth.
This is what goes to Yahoo.
Again.
So remember when we were talking about 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the new Yahoo logo.
Yeah.
And so that was blank stare then.
Yeah.
And so apparently what they did for the past 30 days, they released a new logo every day. And I wouldn't have noticed that because until fantasy football started, I started logging in every day.
Right?
And I'm like, man, it's a different logo. Did some research. They were trying out new logos and then getting people's opinion on them. And they finally released the final one.
Oh, no. Yeah.
The final one looks like the first one.
Right.
It's a little bit thinner. They went with the bevel, which I thought was kind of old school. Instead of going something flat and new and fresh like most, like, well, I mean, we've even went to a flat logo.
Yeah.
Right? And so, yeah, Yahoo, I don't think your logo was an improvement. I think it was, it may have been a lateral step.
Yeah.
But it wasn't an improvement.
It's an interesting concept to actually change the logo on the site and get feedback on it, as opposed to having some competition or forum or whatever that's off to the side that, mm-hmm. that addresses it. That's
actually a pretty smart concept.
Like
yeah,
that
you get
concept.
More people, guaranteed people to see it.
Yeah.
And but I just think the choice was safe.
It should have had like something. Do you like this logo?
Yeah.
Right? Because we just assumed the first one that we saw
was the new one.
That was the new one. And then you happen to see more. So I haven't seen more because I haven't been back. And if they had put, you know, do you like this logo? And then take you to a page where it explains that they're having a logo competition or whatever and getting feedback, then I actually probably would have gone back to Yahoo the next couple of days to see the other logos.
Yeah, probably wouldn't have ended up with the one y'all have now.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, what? Yahoo. All right, this has been podcast number 206. We are the co-hosts of the most popular SEO and internet marketing podcast on iTunes. That is because of all you all. Please make sure you make contact with us some way that we mentioned earlier in the show. Until the next podcast, my name is Chris Burris.
Charles Lewis.
Bye-bye for now. Slightly raised up eyebrow, highbrow. Headed my way, cool as mountain snow, girl, glow, girl, pine and shining. She's gonna set me free.